to rationalize. Anybody see the passion in my eyes? This real life sort of stuff I observe is oftentimes trifling, throwing me a curve. See my little light been getting a little blurred. Lately my wife's been praying for me, word. Gotta know I'm thankful for the blessings I receive.
We are just so grateful, Lord, this evening for this time. Father, we're grateful, Lord, for this place that you continue to provide, Lord, week to week. Father, we're just grateful, Lord God, for just the opportunity to come before you, Father, to be in your presence, to listen, Lord God, to that which your Spirit is leading and guiding us into, Father, and just to seek truth, Lord, to ask for your direction and leadership, Lord. So, Lord, this evening, Father, as we come before you and come before you in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray, Father, that the Spirit of truth would lead and guide us into all truth. Lord, we are just grateful, Father, to be yours, Lord God, to be owned completely by you and for your life to be flowing through ours. And Lord, just this night, Lord God, we ask that you take full control of this time. Lord, we pray that every word that's spoken would be spoken by and through your Holy Spirit. Father, we just leave every burden and every care on the side, Lord. We hold nothing in our hearts, Father. We release everyone, Lord God, that's harmed us in any way, shape, or form. And Lord, we just walk in the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus this time, this moment, right now. So Lord, thank you, Father God, and I just acknowledge openly, Lord, and continuously that it's just your Spirit in me that's good. So Lord, to your Spirit I yield right now, and we pray, Father, have your way, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we do continue to bind every demonic force and every attack of the devil. And Lord, we cast it out, and we just pray, Lord God, also, just for the rest and the peace that you offer as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Okay. Cool. Now, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Got your Bibles, kind of. Okay. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay. Now, we started a series. We're actually in part 3. So we're in part 3 of this series. The title of the series is The Hearing Ear.
The hearing?
The hearing ear.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Jesus, when he's... Well, not this isn't Jesus. This is Paul writing to the Romans. But led by the Spirit, he says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, something that we've been talking about, and something that we've been working our way through systematically, we might do a bit of a recap, since, you know, you missed a couple. But, okay. First of all, Jesus Christ, when you see word in the scripture, when you see the word, there's two different ones that you can be talking about. One is logos, the other is rhema. And we talked about this actually on Saturday a little bit. If you go to like John chapter 1 verse 1, okay. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Okay. That's one type of word. The other one is faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But these aren't the same thing. The first one in chapter 1 is speaking about the Logos. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaking also of Jesus. Now, in the beginning was the Logos. In the beginning was the complete counsel of God existing before time started, will be there after time ends. You have the complete embodiment of the Logos of God right there throughout, well before time started, well after time ends. That's the Logos of God, the complete counsel of God. Then you have, now Jesus, when he came into the world, the word took on flesh, the word became flesh. So when Jesus came, you had the walking embodiment of the Logos of God here in the world. But the rhema of God, that's the other type of word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's the rhema of God. That's the spoken word of God. The rhema of God is what happens when God takes a piece of the Logos, whatever it is that you need at this time, and breaks you off a piece and gives you that which you need right now. So give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is also the bread that came down from heaven. Remember when they're talking to him and they said, he said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. People are saying, you know, give us man. He's like, my bread, my body's real bread. And all this stuff, all these parallels between Jesus is the complete Logos of God. He is that embodiment coming into the world. Now the Rhema of God is the spoken word, is when God takes that piece of the Logos and it gives you the peace that you need right now. That's the Rhema of God. So for example, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It has to be spoken for it to be heard. So something has to be spoken, something has to be to come to you that way. So why is it faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God? See, we could never, in our limited finite selves as we are right now, we couldn't take in the Logos of God. We just can't. We can barely handle, the day-to-day tasks and things that are thrown at us already. To download everything that would come from, you can't. But we can. What happens is we can take that piece that we need day to day and walk this thing out. Now, here's something that's kind of cool about the Rhema. See, it's fresh bread. It's fresh. It's exactly what you need right now. So, for example, if you pick up the scriptures right here and you open them up, if you look at them right here, on a natural level, it's just black and white. Just white pages, black ink, that's it. But when you start reading them, as the Spirit of God animates these words on the page, something jumps off at you. Something comes out of the... It's just like, whoa, what was that? You're like, you've read it 12 times before and you never saw that. And all of a sudden now, wow, what is that? That is God bringing life in that situation, God showing you something out of the living word, and this deep calls out to deep, so the Spirit of God in you resonates with that word that's right there, so God speaks to you out of that. Now it's not limited to this. God can speak to you in the clouds. God can speak to you through a bird. God can speak to you through a falling rock. God can speak to you through a tree leaf. God speak to you through someone else. God spoke to people throughout scriptures. He used a donkey. You know what I mean? He can use whatever he wants. But there is the Rhema of God, where God will get a word to you in a situation when you need to hear. Now, there is the thing about it that's cool too, is that, and this is why it requires a sensitivity on our part, what you needed yesterday may not be the exact same thing that you'll end up doing today. You can be going down a road and four times God told you to turn right. You come to the same junction and the fifth time the Rhema of God is turn left. Well, why? Every time I come this way I've turned right four times. He says, no, turn left. Okay, so same thing like say somebody's medical situation. God will tell, hey, I don't want you to take any medicine. I'm going to totally heal you. Just trust me in this. Okay, but that's for that person. The next person, God may tell, hey, I want you to take this course. I want you to take these antibiotics. And it requires a sensitivity to the Spirit to know what it is that he's saying in a particular situation. It's wrong for a person to, because God spoke a certain rhema to you, to then try to make that the Logos and say, now this applies for everyone everywhere. You see what I'm saying? So this is actually what's happened throughout the religious establishments in the world, particularly in the Christian churches, is what they've done is they've taken something where God has spoken a rhema, and he did. He totally did. He spoke a rhema to somebody's heart, and then that person, because they knew God spoke that to them, they assumed that that now counts for everyone, everywhere, throughout time, forever, sealed, stamped, done. And it's like, no, it's not the case. God was giving you a particular word in a particular time, in a particular context, so that you knew what you needed to do then and there. That does not mean that that is the hard and fast rule throughout. The Logos is the hard and fast rule throughout.
They're trying to take a fragment of that.
They take
say that this is the whole thing.
Yeah, this is, so then what they do is they'll take a fragment of that. And see, here's the problem. If you take a piece of that, that's now misappropriated, you create a bondage for everyone that'll come after that to try to fulfill that. Now, an example I used in the first time when we were talking about this was a pastor I love dearly in the States. And he came from a background where he just drank a lot.
Okay.
And for him, part of his walking with Christ experience and waking up experience was God at one point said to him, you know, I don't want you to drink. Very clearly. And so what he did was he went, took all of his liquor, dumped it down the drain. Great, fantastic. Stop drinking. Then he went and stood in front of his congregation and said, hey, we're not supposed to ever drink. Now, the problem is, okay, what about Jesus' first miracle, you know, which was turning water into wine? What about, you know, these things of, you know, even the assertions that Jesus was, you know, I mean, just, there's, so, it's like, what happened was, see, God was giving, for someone else, it's not an issue at all. So what God was doing was with him, because this was an issue that was blocking his relationship and connection, and this was a snare in his flesh. This was a place where the devil had an inroads in his flesh, and this was a constant stumbling block. God told him specifically, look, for you, you're done. And because he loved God, he was willing to do that. Great, fantastic. But the problem was when then he went and tried to put that on his entire congregation. Because now what's happened is he's created a system of rule and control over those people. And now there's people that, it wasn't an issue before, and now they have a question about why am I not supposed to do this one? Well, I didn't see, you know, okay, and then something about, and then they got to start making excuses for God. Because then they got to start making excuses for why this thing is there. Then it becomes an establishment. Then people are more dedicated to a system of rules than they were to ever even listening to the voice of God for themselves. I sat down with a girl one time at
it becomes part and parcel of like a daily chore.
It becomes a chore. And I sat down. There was a girl I sat down with one time, and we were at some function, and they were making drinks and whatever, and this girl's like, oh, I don't want to drink anything. I was like, okay, cool. You know, it's like, you know, can I ask you why? She's like, oh, because of my faith. I was like, okay, cool. And I said, you know, so I was just like, decided just to, you know, check this a little bit. And so I said, well, what do you mean by your faith? And she's like, well, you know, she's like, you know, I'm not supposed to drink because I'm a Christian. And then I was like, well, okay, what about Jesus' first miracle then? And then she's like, no, I do. And she was like, no, he didn't really. She's like, it was just grape juice. So she said something along those lines. Now, why is she saying something along those lines? It was wine. It was the best wine that they'd had. Why is she saying something along those lines? The reason is because in the institution that she's being brainwashed in day in and day out as she's giving herself over to that, in order for them to make that thing stick, they have now have to twist the word, they now have to twist what it is that's said in order for people to conform. And see, the goal of organized religion is conformity. The goal of it is, look, you need to fit into this mold that we make for you so that now we can control you, and now you give your 10% guilt tax in and you have to pay your way in this thing. And if you fall out of line in any way, shape or form, we'll let you know that you've violated the group norms. It's just another manifestation of the world and the world system. What God wants...
They're trying to guilt you by announcing certain things, you know, opening church, like so and so have done this, let's pray for their sins. It's like, okay, it's me, okay, fine, I've sinned, you know.
Now, here's the thing, even go back to, say, for example, the rich young ruler when he came to Jesus. Now, with that one, what did Jesus do? With that one, Jesus said, and it was like, okay, first, he's like, if you want to be perfect, this guy's like, all right, I've kept the commandments, I've been a good guy, you know. What did Jesus do? He cut to the heart of the matter. He said, okay, if you want to be perfect, you want to do this right, first go sell everything that you got, and then come follow me. Now, the then was basically here. Jesus, seeing the heart, knowing who you are, cut straight to the heart of the matter, saw the place which was the block in this guy, the hindrance which was in this guy, and went straight after and says, okay, you really want to do this? Okay, if you want to come follow me, drop the baggage and come follow me. And now the guy went away sad because that was the point of his limitation. See, here's what it is. Whether it's alcohol, whether it's a sexual addiction, whether it's money and materialism, whether it's a job, whatever it is that is, you know, etc., etc., etc. Whatever it is, whatever that block is, if you love something, anything more than you love Christ, that will be the point where you will be stuck. That will be the point of your limitation of your walk in relationship with Him. So what Jesus does is He will cut to the heart of the matter with anybody if they're willing to walk with Him. And He will reveal what that is, because He will have... go back to Exodus 20. Exodus chapter 20. What's the very first commandment? Exodus chapter 20, He says... Alright, I'll read this. Verse 1 says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." So basically out of the world. I brought you out of the world. The world is bondage. I brought you out of the world. Mm-hmm. Verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Boom. And overlay that then with when they asked Jesus, you know, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the first commandment. Second is like it. Okay. Point throughout. Now, this is something from the Logos of God. Basically, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God will not share the affections of His bride with anyone else. He will not compete with that. He's like, but it's your free will choice. So we make a free will choice and decision. So if somebody says, okay, I want this piece of the world, I want to hold on to this. Okay, you can hold on to that, but you then exchange that which God has for you for that in the world. So, and then that becomes your snare, that becomes your vice, that becomes the place where you stop. And so, you know, I've got too many friends. Too many people I love, I care about dearly, but I've seen them stop along the way. They love God, but they love God to that point. And then there was this one thing, whatever it is, that's where they wanted to get off the train. Whether it was a job, you know, whether it was a relationship, relationships, big snag. Whether it was, you know, some vice, you know, something just where, and it's just like whatever it is, but they'll hold on to that. And here's the thing. It's one thing if someone is going after God with all their heart, and in that process they stumble, but they're still going in that direction. It's another thing when somebody says, all right, I'm just going to take this detour over here. You know the difference. And see, here's the thing. God knows the difference. God sees straight to the heart. God knows the difference. He's the only one, and you're not fooling Him. See, that's the thing. You can fool everybody else, Everyone else can believe whatever it is, but in the end of the day, who cares? Because none of their opinions matter when you leave this world anyways, and the only one whose opinion matters is the one who's already seen and known all the way throughout. And saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that in your name, like Matthew chapter 7, doesn't make a difference. He knows. He knows those that are his, and he knows those that are not. And people are given the room and the space to make a choice. Okay, so he is petitioning and reaching his hand out to those that are his. He's doing that. But they make willful choice, willful decision, which way they want to go. Now, God wants and offers the best for his people. See, that's the thing. The reverse side of this whole thing is John chapter 10, we talked about this plenty of times, verse 10, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So Jesus comes that they might have life. So when you see him talking to someone like the rich young ruler, he's offering him abundant life. And again, what scriptures, man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. Jesus is offering him real life, real wealth, real possession, real that which is eternal, that which is lasting. The rich guy died. None of what he held on to in this world lasted. It's all gone. And he missed eternal value. If he could do it all over again, he would today. If he had that option, he would in a second have changed. From the eternal standpoint, where he is right now, wherever he is right now, if he could redo that one, he would redo that one. I don't know what happened with him after that. Maybe he went back, maybe he had a change of heart somewhere along the line, maybe something happened, maybe after the death and resurrection, you know, he got right. I don't know. Whatever the case is, but if he could go back and redo that specific incident today from an eternal vantage point, boom, he would be there. Because he knows from that standpoint what's true. You know, actually, if we just saw our lives from 100 years from now, looking back, when we've passed on, if you could just think of life and the decisions and the choices that we make from a very short period of time from now, because we'll all be out of here very quickly, if we could just see life from that, we would make decisions differently. We would. If you could just see life a little bit further ahead than this next week, this next day, these next 2 hours. This Sri Lanka, classic. People don't think 5 minutes ahead. They do not think 5 minutes ahead. They do not plan 5 minutes ahead. They will quickly lie to you. They will quickly cheat you. Because they're not thinking that much further ahead. But there is, I sat down with a guy recently, and we were just talking, and he just said, you know, Govind, he's like, for himself, he's just like, you know, I talk to people sometimes when they're trying to cheat and they're doing this stuff. And he just said, and I tell them, you know, aren't you afraid of the hereafter? You think about it too, and he said to me, he's like, you know, Buddhism talks about karma, and you know, Hinduism, so it's like even there they have their karma, and you know, Islam is, you know, there's life after, and Christianity, so all of these religions that are there, even the systems of the world, talk about So all of the systems of the world even talk about some ramification for the life that you live in this world. The only one that doesn't is atheism, which basically just says, hey, slash and burn right now, baby, because this is all you got. And they're the most depressed, pathetic people that I know. I mean, they really are. They're just, I mean, by and large, and the fool says in his heart, there's no God. So, you know, that's... And frankly, if you look at the evidence, and if they look at the evidence, they are stupid. They're really stupid people. Because they can't register that which... Just go outside and look at the stars. You know, just look at a leaf. Just do a little bit of scientific research on your own. Yeah. Fine, making a human so easy. You make one. You know, in a test tube. It's like... There's a way to make one, but that's God's design. But there's Yeah, I know. Yeah, you got it. You got it.
It's hovering for you against 80s.
No, it's just, you know, the problem is just that, you know, by and large, that thinking is allowed for in first world countries under fluorescent lights.
You know, but it's very hard to explain to someone something, like you say, okay, you show it to me, then I'll believe. But I would say that how would you show love? I mean, love doesn't exist. Even the most hardest criminal, they have some kind of feeling towards another person, object, whatever. Could you show love? No, you can't. So therefore, you can't possibly explain to someone the existence of God unless he or her being touched by it. Then, boom, it just happens to them. They won't know it.
Unless somebody's drawn by him, then they won't get it. They won't see. And that's the thing, too. Is like, see, that's where we have to... you and I look for who the Spirit of God is drawing. That's the place where we invest our time, invest our energies. Because if somebody doesn't have a heart for truth, if they don't really want that, now this is the difference between somebody that's like, all right, they're an atheist, but they're really a truth seeker. And basically that person says, look, all these religions that are out there, they're not right, they're not on, I'm sick of that. Great, fantastic. Because you've seen through the deception, you've seen through the world trap, and you don't believe in that. Great! Because if you're on the path of truth and you're looking for truth and you just checked out of all that, you're doing fantastic. You're doing better than most of these people. But keep going. Keep asking that question. Keep looking, because you realize all this stuff didn't just come from nowhere. You know, it wasn't a monkey that graduated.
Sure.
You know, so there is intelligent design and all this stuff. So it requires that a person continues on that path. Keep looking. But it's when people have fallen for... See, atheism in and of itself is another religion. It is another religion. They have their sacred texts. They have their prophets. They have their modern day, they have their dead prophets and their living prophets. They've got everything that constitutes what a religion is. And it takes a lot of faith to be an atheist. You have to really believe in something so stupid. And you have to be, it's like, you know, Legos, you can eat Legos. It's like, I mean, it's that level of stupid. And it's like, because, you know, this is... They have to go and dig into that level, and they've really got to believe hard. They have faith in
ignorance.
Yeah, exactly. So that's like, so anyways. And see, here's the thing, is even with somebody like that, somebody that's committed to a surface reality, somebody that's committed to that which they can see, touch, basically their five senses. Okay, if that's all it is that you're going to accept as reality, that which is there, period, then that's the only reality that you'll experience in this life. You will just know that from your five senses, and you will go into eternity to that which, you know, you don't know. And that which, where is everybody that was before? You know, where did they go? Those five senses, you know, where are they? You know, something went on. Where did the new ones come from? Can you tell me that? There's a ton of people that were born just today. Where do they come from? Show me. Okay, you show me. Where do they come from? Where did that soul come from that's in them? You see what I'm saying? But anyways, we are spiritual beings. We've been created with... See, that which is eternal lasts. That which is temporal is just transitory. So we are given... and facilitated by living in a human body in this world for a season, for a period of time, because we're given this window for a purpose. And basically we get this opportunity to make one choice. That's the big purpose of life, just making one major choice, which is, do you bow your knee to the King of Kings, to the Kingdom of God, and the dominion of the King of Kings through Christ Jesus, or do you sell out to the world and the world system and the prince and the power of the air and the majority and go that way? And if you go with the Kingdom of God, then that in the end will be the only thing that you will have and know for certain. And then basically anything else that comes, whatever it is by God's hand and God's design, and you have to completely trust in Him 100%, because that's it. That's all you got to work with. Whereas with the world and the world system, they'll tell you, okay, sell out and we'll give you something in exchange for your soul. You know, and we may or may not stop persecuting you, but basically you got to get in the ranking now, and you got to start working your way up in the pyramid, whether it's in the religious system, whether it's the business community, whether it's development work, whatever it is, politics, entertainment, anything, doesn't matter. You have to play the game. So it's basically people choosing, and the thing is, the world counts on that. It counts on people going by what you can, those five senses. It counts on people locking themselves into that. And then there's another group within the world that says, hey, it's not just about the five senses. There is power, because if I can tap into power, I can control the people in the base reality, because now I've got you know, something else working with me. So those are the ones that actually are higher in the pyramid structure, because they are able to leverage their whatever it is that they've tapped into on the demonic side to control those that are just kind of going with the five senses and whatever comes. Mm-hmm. So the drones and the worker bees, you know, it's like, okay, they'll play that role. See, the thing about the people of God is, because we're not connected, we live off a different source. We live connected directly to the vine, and He provides for us, He takes care of us. If they cross one of us, then God takes care of us. And in the taking care of us, they come into a world of hurt. And I've seen it time and time and time again. And the best thing that they can do, if they value their position and their ranking in the world, is to leave God's people alone. But the problem is they can't, because that now is the sole reason they exist, which is to go after the people of God, the true ones. Not the sellout church. See, that's why the sellout church is pretty much left alone. Those guys are allowed to function. It's the true children of God. Those are the ones that are persecuted. Those are the ones that are attacked. Those are the ones that are marginalized. Those are the ones that are gamed on their job. Those are the ones that get stolen from. Those are the ones that, you know, they'll set you up one way or the other just to pull the rug out from under you. Those are the ones that because they have to. The whole thing about the world is, if they can get you, then now they can get a boost in their own system. See, their ranking in their system is contingent on how they can game and scam you, because they can only get so far in their thing, but there's no life in any of them. We're connected to the source of life, because we're connected to the source of life. That then, that connection to the source of life, which is Christ Jesus, they have no life in them, so they got to try to suck the life off of you in order for them to be able to move, sustain. It's like a gas tank. Their cars connected, they get filled up. But they eventually got to fill back up again. They got to keep going like that. That's the way they work. Whereas we're connected to this, we're just like in this spot on the river. So the river is just flowing all the time, and it's just flowing through us. There is no limitation. But they want to take that life that's in you, crush you, break you, do whatever to get that from you, off of you. And if they can get you to sell out into the world system, then they get a pop. They get a... So that's... Now, the thing about the people of God and is that, see, we are those that have chosen to walk with Christ Jesus. We're the ones that have chosen to basically... My sheep, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So we in John chapter 10. So we are the ones who hear the voice of the Spirit, and in response to the voice of the Spirit of God, we follow Him. Now, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So, okay, Luke chapter 17. Just touch on this one again. Luke chapter 17. Okay. And verse 20 says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So now the kingdom of God is within. So for us, when we, it's an internal connection that takes place with the Spirit of God. He comes into your body, becomes the temple of the living God, and He speaks to you in your heart, in your spirit, in a still small voice. And He will instruct you like that. He will get the word to you in all kinds of ways, but it will resonate with you within, because the kingdom of God is within. So that life of God is there in you. And what we do what we can do on our side. See, alright, something we talked about over the weekend in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. The letter to the seven churches. There is something that, now when Jesus was speaking to the church at Ephesus, speaking to the church at Smyrna, speaking to the church in Laodicea, speaking to these seven churches, something that he told every one of them was, well, there's three things. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and then to him that overcomes. So there's three things in there. Why did I say three? It's let he that hath an ear. Not, it didn't say let the church hear what the Spirit's saying to. No, it's not. He's not speaking to groups. Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, so that you and I would have an individual connection with the Father for ourselves. That's key to you walking this thing out. So let he that hath an ear. So it's the individual, you as an individual person hearing. Hearing is another thing. You have to be able to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, what it is that he's saying. And to he that overcomes. Now John chapter 16. John chapter 16. John chapter 16 verse 32 says, now it says, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now Jesus promised tribulation, promise, trial. Because why? Because the second that you choose to follow him, the entire system of the world now comes to try to snatch you back, break you, do whatever they can, because hey, they don't want you to go that way. The entire world system is designed to harvest the soul of man, and one getting away is not part of their deal. So in this world, if you choose to follow Christ, they will test that, they will try that, they will try to break you, they will try to entice you, they will... The offers I've had already in my life, I am amazed. You know, I mean, they've not yet hit the level of Jesus being offered. Come, come. Welcome, welcome. hey, Reverend, how? Maybe one more question. I think we're okay now. Thank you. We're good. All right. Welcome.
Are you like the father?
Yeah, come close.
No, you
have
to. Ow.
Okay.
No, I know, dude. I'm sorry. New room, new place.
Like here come to settle some
debt or something.
Something.
Yeah. No, I'm not alone. Okay.
I tell you, it's like interrogation table.
Yeah.
You've been there.
And they are interrogating him actually.
Okay. Okay. So, Where was it? No, the thing to... I mean, Jesus got offered some amazing things. In the world, the second that you choose to follow Christ, the world will put all of its machinery in place to try to get you back. It'll try to test that. It will try to break you. It will try to entice you. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. It will try a variety of things. The world keeps a dossier on you, and it watches you. The system of the world watches you. So it realizes, okay, this guy, maybe he's got his flesh under control, but if you stroke his ego, you know, he'll start going down a path that way. Or, this person really, really wants this. Or you see, whatever it is, and they'll work that angle, they'll work that area of weakness. You know, that's why, you know, even in sports teams, if like whenever, like for example, professional baseball or something like that, or rugby or any football, when they're American football, they'll watch the tapes of the opposing teams before they play them, and they'll find out, okay, where is the weak players, where is the gaps? If some other team played these guys, where did something work? And they will start, and then when they prepare their offense to go against those people, they will then gear it towards, this is just a regular run-of-the-mill sports team. How much more so the elaborate worldwide network of demonic powers that seeks to harvest your soul because it has eternal value. It will watch you completely. And this is why, too, it is so important that you hear the voice of God and you respond to what He tells you, because of the fact that what He leads you into will save your life. It will save your eternal soul if you listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. Because back to, again, remember Proverbs 14, Proverbs 16? Here, let's flip there really quick, since we have our Bibles. That's okay, we have enough.
Me and Eric, I remember that was like
each other's
Bible.
Okay, let me find this. Okay, Proverbs 14 and 16 both say the same one. But Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Because, why? Because if there's a way that seems right to you as a person in your fallen human condition, that way will, the enemy of your soul will facilitate everything along the way that seems right to you, separate from this voice of the Spirit of God, and it'll kill you, though it seems right to you. But you go back to Proverbs chapter 3, and verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Oh, the series is the hearing ear. We're at part 3. Okay. Now back to the very first verse that we talked about. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that word there is the rhema of God. Not the logos, but the rhema of God. The rhema of God is the spoken word that God gives you. In any particular situation, every day, He tells you exactly what you need for the situation, the place, whatever it is that you're in the middle. You really should go back through the first two ones that are posted online, because it'll set up the background for this. Yeah. We talked some about this. See, there is a key. This is essential to your walk and your relationship with Christ. The letter to the seven churches, all of them were told the same thing. Let him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and to him that overcomes. Three things. He that hath an ear, the individual. God speaks to each person that is His individually.
And differently.
Yeah, and differently, exactly. He will, for one person, he will say this way, one person he will say this way, and he will tell you, because see, here's the other thing too. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. So each one of us is made a particular way. We have certain things about us. You wired a certain way. You are compelled to act and to respond a certain way. You have a heart to help people a certain way. You are gifted in particular ways. So each one of those things too, for you, for the Spirit of God, because He made you that way, because He had something specific for you, based also on the talents and the desires that He's put in you. Whereas, so this is why conformity will never work, it'll kill.
And for instance, if you're convicted of something, it will only apply to you, it doesn't apply to everyone. Like the organizations, I mean, churches, organizations, when it applies to the pastor, he applies it to the entire congregation.
We talked about this before you got here, yeah. What happens is, and this is by and large what has taken place throughout the quote-unquote Christian churches, is that they will take, and many times the leadership of those places will take a rhema that God legitimately spoke to that pastor. He knew that God spoke it to him, and he was right, God did. But he'll take a rhema and try to make it the logos for everybody. And now they've set up a system of man-made controls that bread is getting old and moldy, and they still keep trying to feed it to the same people over and over and over again. Here, eat this. Here, eat this. Here, eat this. And God moved on from there. And a lot of times it'll have been something that somebody, that particular guy, was struggling with, and it was a bondage for him, and so God was trying to get him free. And so, like we talked about the rich young ruler before you guys came here too, the rich young ruler, that was his block. So Jesus said, so first, if you want to do this right, first go sell everything you got, and then give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. Why? Jesus attacked at the heart of what it was that was blocking this guy. So the rhema that would give this guy life, the rhema that would build his faith, Jesus, keeping in line, thou shalt not have no other gods before me, Exodus chapter 20 verse 3, you will have no other gods before him. God cut to the heart of the matter for that which was competing with his affections for the Father, and revealed that this guy was not willing to give that up. So now what happens is we, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we must, it's important that we, what can we do on our side to be in a position where we can hear the voice of God? Because everybody's got ears, but how many people actually hear? You know, you have ears, physical ears, but spiritually, what is it that you need to ask yourself those questions. What is it that you need to do on your side so that you are attuned to the voice of the Spirit of God when He speaks? So some things that we went through last time were practical things that we do. You know, like when Jesus talked about when He was teaching people how to pray, and He said, look, when you pray, He's like, get away. He's like, you know, if you're in a house, you know, go into your closet, close the door. You know, it's like, I mean, get away, block out the external distractions. And what did Jesus do when He was surrounded by people, probably staying in, you know, places where a lot of them were sharing a room or whatever? He would go out on the mountain in the middle of the night. You know, He would do whatever it was necessary to get away with God, to get away and spend some time with Him. Because it's necessary. It's necessary to give close, undivided attention to what it is that God is saying. It's necessary to get away with Him. God wants to get away with you. And see, this is why too, the surface reality is working very hard to keep you from ever doing that. So the world and the world system, part of the job that it has is to keep you on that base level, to keep you from getting away with Him. This is why you're bombarded from the start of your day. This is why it'll carry with you through to the end of your day. And if you don't shut it off, if you don't set the parameters as quickly as possible, this will come at you. So you have to take that responsibility and say, this is blocked off and given over to the Father. This is His. You are taking that initiative on your side to get away with Him. Now, if you know, here's the other thing too, and I know we all get busy with work or whatever, but even recently, like, I realized for myself, man, I get so busy with so many things. But when you block, I've seen this, when you give time to the Father, He will definitely give it back to you. Definitely. He will help you. And it's not, you don't do it to get that, but it's a byproduct of that. When you cut that time away with Him, what happens is then when you go to work, your mind, you're connected with heaven. Gosh, the counsel that you have, the free flow of ideas, the effectiveness in your work, it just flows. I mean, and then too, with other things, He can just put things together. He can make that stuff work. Whereas the devil, if you can just be taken up in this other stuff where at the end of the day it's just, you know, 5 minutes in the garage, oh God, I'm sorry, you know, please, you know, help me, help my wife, help my family, help my this, help my that. It's like, okay, you stopped. You're stuck. God wants to spend some time with you. He wants you to spend some time with Him because He wants to show you some things. Just the question to ask, how would God be able to? When would He have the opportunity to? In the life that you currently have, when would He have the opportunity to show you something if He wanted to right now? When would that be? Would He have to, you know, maybe get you in a car accident while you're driving somewhere? Because there's no time to even show you a vision. You've got so much stuff going, there's no time to even show you a vision. In your dreams, you go to sleep at night, you're so darn tired, so haggard. And see, here's the other thing too. Prayer, spending time with Him, it'll provide a safeguard around your mind. And there's people already just so afraid, so fearful about just the little stuff that's been coming so far. This has not been big stuff. Financial collapse is not a big thing. Swine flu is not a big thing. These are tiny things compared to what's coming up. These are little things. And already people are starting to freak out and don't know what to do. Already? You know, we haven't even done the first lap.
I can just imagine when the real stuff...
Oh gosh, people are not... But see, here's something too. When you are connected with the Spirit of God, it regulates your mind, regulates your thoughts. When you're in a place of prayer and sensitivity to the Spirit of God, that stuff it just governs it. It's like, see, then too, when you can hear, God says in a situation, hey, don't worry, I got this under control. Or He'll tell you, hey, don't go to the shopping mall today. You better be able to hear that. You know, don't go left, don't go right. Stay home. Go outside. You know, go to the mountains for a week. You need to be able to hear those things. You know, I mean, God would give specific instruction to His early church. And there was a time of a famine coming. Agabus got a prophetic word. They prepared and made provisions for other people in the body of Christ based on the word of God that came. And when it happened, they were... See, that's another thing too. The Spirit of God will quicken you on behalf of other brothers and sisters in Christ, so that nobody within the body lacks, because God equips us one to another. We pray for each other, we share resources with each other, we do whatever it is that's necessary for the sake of the body of Christ. We do that. But you need to be able to hear that. You need to be able to hear when somebody's in trouble somewhere else and you've been, you know, you've got a spell of just like a time where, whew, I can breathe easy a little bit. And then now suddenly somebody else is in attack you know, you will be praying for them because the Spirit of God will quicken you. He will bring somebody back to your mind. I can't tell you, for me, there's people that, not in this country, overseas, and I'll be going through like, you know, a lot of stuff here, and somebody will be like, man, I don't know what it is, but God, people I haven't talked to for a year, 2 years. Will write me, will call me, and they'll just be like, Govinda, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just really praying for you right now. I'm like, wow, that is so cool. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, friend, brother, sister in Christ. This is because why? Because God connects us up through His Spirit, and one joint supplieth the need of another. We share, but you need to be able to hear. You need to be able to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, because two, He will do a few things out of that. One, He will show you where to share what it is that you have. Two, He will also quicken you so that what you have in your hand, He can bless that and prosper that. And He will show you how to use what it is that you got. So He'll tell you, here, do this, and you make 1 in 10. Legitimately, not by cheating, but legitimately. He'll bless that work of your hand. He will quicken you, and this is what you do. So we need to be able to hear, not for just our sake, but for the sake of all the body of Christ and the world you're around. There's a lot of people dying right now, have no idea for any solution. The world has no solutions. I have realized that every day that keeps going forward, how the world and the people of this world have no idea how to fix any of their problems. Because there is only one solution, which is Christ Jesus. All solutions manifest out of Him. All wisdom, knowledge, and understanding come from Him. And in order for those to come from Him, you got to be able to hear what He's saying. And if you can't hear what He's saying, you're stuck trying to solve your own problems. You want to try to solve your own problems? Okay, go ahead. Oh, look what you got. I mean, look at the world. Look at where the world is at now. And it's just going that way. And every time the world comes up with what they think is a solution, they just make 4 more problems for themselves. Every time they implement something that they think is a solution, it makes another problem. Inevitably. So, but last time we talked about some things that we do to be able to and help us here. Giving close and undivided attention to what God is saying, so we make a firm decision of our will to exclude external distractions and influences. We make that, and we get away with Him. Do whatever you got to, and cut out that time with Him. I'm making, for myself personally, I'm working on doing this more and more in the morning, because I realize the power of that in the day, and I'm working on that. You know, it's not. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, and it comes under attack, especially if I do a late night, which I don't, I'm trying to do less of those. But it's like I want to do that. I want to make that a commitment for myself before Him, because for myself it's like I want to start every day fresh, strong, spiritually strong. Whether I eat breakfast or not, who cares? I want to have that spiritual food and that rhema that comes from God, because that is what feeds my spirit and my soul. That is what I need to walk through this life and this world. I want to hear. So for us, that's the focus, that's the goal, that's the desire, that's the heart, is you want to hear that word that the Spirit is saying. Now, another thing too is, like, you know, we talked about adopting a humble, teachable attitude, and then also, you know, with when He speaks, we focus our eyes on the word that He's given, and you keep it before you. See, one thing that I've done when I've been sure that God has given a word, either to me directly or through somebody that, you know, will, you know, prophetic people that have given something, and I know it's something that, and God resonates that in my spirit, I've written those things down. You know, when He speaks to me out of the scripture or something, I've written those things down, and I'll keep those. And I'll watch for that fulfillment. I'll watch for that. I'll work towards that, because I know that this is something that God's doing. And then as that happens, as that takes place, I'm like, yeah, you know, but don't let it go away. So when God speaks something to you, keep that in front of you And don't let that depart. You know, just be like, oh wow, okay. So God says, hey, I want you to go to Uganda. Oh wow, God spoke to me today. He said, I want you to go to Uganda. Great, fantastic. Okay, now the work day started. And now 2 days later, and now five, and then he brings it back to you again. 5 days later, wow, you know, this thing's, something about Uganda. Okay, now, well, I forgot about it last time he talked. And then, you see what I'm saying? And then like, and then maybe he speaks to you again 2 weeks later, and then after a while, it's gone. You know, he's, because how many times has he got to keep talking to you about it? You know, he gets that word to you, he speaks that word into your heart, but you let that thing go, and you let yourself, because you're preoccupied, you're distracted, you're being sucked into a surface reality, and then, oh wait, but if I go to Uganda, how am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to, you know, I got a good job lined up. Okay, that's where you checked out. So that's the point where you checked out on what it was that God was saying. Good time to repent. And then when you repent, get on track. Whatever it is that he says, do it. See, that's the thing. When you hear, the obligation then on our side is to respond. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that word is spoken, we hear it, when we respond to it, you see God faithful, and now your trust in him is built. Faith comes out of that. And then after a while you get into this thing of God speaks, you talking with God, something happens, response, wow, oh shoot, yes, okay, now the next time, cool, it's, this is how it works. And then now it's the walk of faith. Yeah, I've said this a few times before, the walk of faith is just one step of faith after another. It's just you just take one step of faith, and then you take the next one, and then the next one, and then all of a sudden you realize, hey, I'm walking. That's all it is. The faith walk is just one step of faith after another. So you hear the voice of the Spirit, and you need to, on your side, do what you must to be in a place where you can hear. Okay, so I mean, so there's, and so when, so you keep those words in front of you. So even you continue to meditate that on them after God speaks that. So like even in Psalm chapter 1, or Psalm 1, let me just go there really quick. I'll read this. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. For the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Okay, so the good way to go, the right way to go, the proper one is, but he that delighteth in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So you let that resonate with you. So after you've done with your prayer time as such, because you can't spend all 24/7 on your knees unless you get away for a major retreat somewhere, but after that you keep it there in front of you. You do what it is that you... We can take active steps to directing our mind and our thinking, because the world is taking very active steps to try to do that for you. The world is working very hard to take those steps for you and to shape your consciousness, to shape your reality, to shape the way that you see this world, to shape the way that you hear what you hear. The world wants, when you have to make a decision, for you to make a decision based out of a carnal, selfish, self-centered, self-serving reality. It does not want you to make a decision based on the kingdom of God, because that would bring light and life and truth and peace to so many others, and the world doesn't want that. The world wants people to sell out to the system and then die. So they get your soul and then they move on to the next generation. What you have is you have this elaborate machinery in place in the realm of the Spirit that's there to harvest the soul of every person in this world that it possibly can. So you being free from that, you're a free radical. You are bouncing around in this thing, breaking up everything, and they got to do everything they can to keep that from happening. But we have that. We're allowed that. Here, John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 says, verse 3 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of this flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest, and thou canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Why? Why is so everyone that is born of the Spirit? Because everyone that is born of the Spirit, they hear the voice of the Spirit of God, they hear the leading of the Spirit of God, and they go wherever it is that He leads them, and they follow and they do whatever the Spirit of God tells them to do. They have an ear to hear, they hear what the Good Shepherd says, and they won't follow another. And like that, because of that, they're like the wind. The world can't control them. The world, the people that are in the world, they control you. If you are a sellout in the world, you are controlled from top to bottom. You think the presidents of these countries can control what it is they want to do? They are so locked away, and so they can't go out to the beach and go surfing. They can't go anywhere. They're locked in. They are prisoners. Their cells are just a little bit bigger. They can't go anywhere. Their lives are completely structured from top to bottom. These big executives, all these guys, all of them are locked in. The people of God, we can check out at any time. We can switch careers tomorrow. We can take on a whole new thing anytime. We go wherever it is the Spirit of God leads us. Oh, 6 months without a paycheck? Okay, cool. Let's see what happens. No, I mean, what? But you know what? We also can testify to the faithfulness of God. We can also testify to the provision of God. We can also see how God takes the little that you got and stretches it. You can also see how He stirs other people around you in the middle of that situation. You can also see how God stretches you in that situation to help you to trust Him and to learn certain lessons that you would never learn in any other way had it not been for this thing in front of you in the first place. And this situation that you're walking through, you wouldn't have learned this. And then when you come to the other side of it, you're like, okay, it's a given. Ha, He'll take care of me. He'll watch over. He really will watch over me. He really will take care of me. Great. Fantastic. I'm glad I figured that one out. Oops, sucks to be part of the world because they can't guarantee that. The world can... They don't. They don't. They cannot guarantee that. They cannot give you Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom of God, He'll take care of your needs. You seek first the world, you may or may not have what you need at the end of the day. In fact, what happens with the world system is, when it can't take care of its people anymore, it must kill them off. Which is why you can expect mass kill-offs in the days ahead, because the world system fails, starting with the economic system, and because they can't take care of their sellouts, they must now kill them off. So... H1N1 man-made, manufactured, pig, bird, human... I mean, come on, man.
Probably,
sprayed out of a plane.
Man had made it, not pigs.
No, it just reeks of some laboratory scientist, and it's like, you know, you take something like that, this is just a test run. Look at the stuff that they've been doing out of something like that. Look at how, see, all of it is, this is before they actually start really doing their stuff. They just need to check, okay, how are people responding? are people asking that question? Are people even considering the fact, you know, and the control of the media's control of perception, all that stuff is there. So ultimately, here it is, at the end of the day, we see what's going on. We understand what's going on. We know. It's fine. We understand. We know. And the world, because they sell out to their grave. There's a way that seems right unto a man, and there are the ways of death. Hello? People that go that way, this is what's going to happen. And the people too that do it, the people that put that together, those will, none of them get away. None of them get away. Can you imagine being one of those scientists that actually made that? And knowing that, you know, you were involved in basically murdering, you know, babies that couldn't, their immune systems couldn't fight back. They're, you know, just innocent people. You might as well just take a 44 Magnum and go out on the street and shoot somebody in the front of the head. That'd be more humane. Or better get a machine gun with a lot of bullets, because you killed a lot of people. I mean, these people that have done this stuff, this is some sick, twisted people waiting for a really hot spot in hell.
They just want to stay fearing people.
And that's the other thing too. See, perfect love drives out all fear. With now, you know, my hope is that people that do stuff like that repent, get right with God, because you know what? Hey, that's okay. God will there is, but if they don't, sorry, you're screwed. But yeah, you're right. The thing about it too is you look at people's responses to an economy crashing, to these different situations that take place. When you start to see that, you start to see who's really connected to the source and who's not. Because people that respond out of fear, well, what was your life based on in the first place? So, anyways, so God gives us that which is specific, that which is personal, and you can't apply what God shows you to someone else. This is very important. You can't, and also another one, you can't recycle yesterday's message for today. It's old bread. You want daily bread, daily manna, that which God speaks to you today, that's what you want. So you need to hear from Him for yourself this day. Give us this day our daily bread. He will speak that which is specific to you. Now, you know, we're pretty much out of time, so I'm just going to close with a couple things. But basically, you have your conscious mind, which we're all, that's kind of your default spot when you're awake, right? When you get away, when you stop, when you allow yourself to get still before God, that's when you go below that surface reality to a place where you can hear the still small voice of God. This is where you hear it. It's a sliver of reality. You need to, now there's things that people do that block that. That, you know, for example, willful sin blocks that. It damages your ability to hear God. Sexual sin has a huge impact on that. Bitterness, unforgiveness has a big impact. If you hold unforgiveness in your heart against people, it will just kill your ability to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. So there's different things, whatever it is that block. So for example, when you come before the Father, let Him reveal those things. Let Him expose those things. Repent. Turn away. Make amends. Do whatever you have to so you can be in a place where you can hear Him. If something's got to go, let it go. You know, if something needs to be done, do that. He'll show you. Jesus said, look, if you bring your gift to God and then you remember you got something against your brother, leave your gift at the altar, go make things right, and then come back and offer it. It's true in the spirit today. If you got something there, make a note of it, make it right, do whatever you got to so that you can have a clean connection with Him. And now, you know, what happens too is that still small voice, that's all you need. But now people go into like all these deep meditations and get into all these subconscious worlds and all that, and then have these, you know, you can go past that. You can miss, you know, you can drive right past your exit, you know, and it's like you're driving on a road. You know, you miss the road, and then they go into all these other crazy things. They take, you know, trip on acid, they'll do whatever, and then they go into something else. Then they get all kinds of crazy experiences. You know, demonic attachments happen in those places, whatever. No, you and I, there's a sliver of reality that you and I can cultivate a connection and a relationship with the Spirit of God. And God will speak to you in that. He will speak words to you in that. He will show you visions. He will teach you. And out of that, you can walk. And He'll confirm that some way. He will find a way to confirm those things so that now you can take a confidence as you're moving forward. See, it's very important that every one of us as individuals are connected with the Spirit of God for ourselves and walk our lives out in that, because that in that lies the overcoming life, in that lies the abundant life which Jesus Christ intended that we have. He wants us to have it, but you make a decision on your free will if you will receive that or not. So the same instruction that goes out to every church goes to us, which is, to him that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. To the churches, to us. So let him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Because if you can hear what the Spirit says, faith comes. Because you respond and you walk that out. So let him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says, because out of that faith will come. And you will have the abundant life, and out of that abundant life you will overcome. Live the overcoming life. And with that, we are out of time, so we have to stop.
Everybody say welcome to the faith. Welcome. Yeah, we're up to us, the definitive article of God. Got men and women with a heart of gold. Let's go. Welcome to the faith. Notice, not a faith, but love faith. A body of beliefs that determines what you think, your influence, and how you behave. So I'd just like to thank you once again for coming on this journey with me, as I impress upon Christians and invite the non-believers into